I hesitated to start a podcast until roughly 4 million other people had. Now, I'm not kidding about that number. I got it from a website called explodingtopics.com, which sounds like it should be for home arsenal hobbyists, but no. The site estimates that as of this past January, there were 3.02 million podcasts in the U.S. The site added that, quote, exact figures can vary significantly depending on several factors, most notably the inclusion of inactive podcasts, end quote. Okay, here's my question. Isn't an inactive podcast a non-existent one? For example, would you total up all the current CBS TV shows and include The Beverly Hillbillies, which the network canceled 54 years ago? As you know, podcasts can vary a great deal in terms of quality, length, and whether they're being recorded in a studio or in your parents' basement, like right beside the washer-dryer and a few feet from the sump pump. You can usually tell the difference as a listener. For instance, if the podcast has musical intros and bridges, it was probably recorded professionally. But if the podcast is occasionally interrupted by the swoosh of a rinse cycle or the thrum-suck-thrum of churning effluent or someone yelling, "I'm not keeping a dinner warm forever, young man," then probably not. Naming this podcast, now that took my marketing team several billable hours. Their invoice lists these activities. 1, concepting it. 2, spitballing it. 3, focus grouping it. 4, reconsidering it. 5, going out for drinks. My team ultimately came up with 5 names for me to choose from. Listen up, stupid. I'm talking to you, stupid. Get back here, stupid. What are you, deaf and dumb, stupid? And finally, the Goldman State Podcast. Well, I went with the latter. Somehow I knew that giving my podcast the same name as my column would both provide consistency and save me a few bucks by not having to hire a logo designer. I promise to pass those savings on to you. Access seems to be the key in making a podcast successful. I love when practitioners say their podcasts are available wherever you get your podcasts. That's as helpful as suggesting to a novice chef, be sure to include ingredients in your recipes. How on earth would I know where you get your podcasts? I also have no idea where you buy your juice boxes, vegetable oil, or generic Claritin. Just for fun, I went to bloggingtips.com, yes, it really exists, to look up 8 of the more popular places you can access a podcast. Here they are with questions and comments. 1, YouTube. I think this sounds like a cleaned up New Jersey insult, like you tailpipe and yo mama, but they were taken. 2, Apple Podcasts. I imagine this targets orchard owners. In fact, they're probably the core subscribers. 3, CastBox. Presumably, this is where ventriloquist dummies hang out between performances. 4, Podbean. Okay, this is a fine cause and effect name, since beans come from pods. I'm guessing this may be an educational platform, perhaps run by the 4-H Club. 5, Spreaker. Well, isn't that special? 6, Spotify. Research shows this isn't how you say spot in Esperanto. 7, Overcast. Unfortunately, this is available only on dreary days. Finally, 8, Pocket Casts, which sounds like a troupe of height-challenged actors. Anyway, I hope you'll give me a lesson now and then. I hope to do a new one every week until your inertia or my laryngitis reaches crisis stage. My online column, The Goldman State, is posted every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you want to subscribe or learn more about me, though God only knows why, please head to goldmanstate.com. And join us again for this companion podcast right here or wherever on earth you get your podcasts. Until then, on behalf of we 4,000,001 podcasters, I'm Ed Goldman, and this is The Goldman State. The musical riffs you hear are from the musical I wrote, Friday at 5,